All right, let's get together for God's word this morning. What is God like? You know, we need to be reminded of this. Many people think God is like a strict policeman. He's waiting to see, have you done something wrong? And he's waiting to punish you and to, or like a principal. Or like a strict school teacher who's waiting to hit you on the knuckles and to say, okay, this is what you did wrong, ta-da-da, you know. And so we can have these ideas about God. And Jesus, when he came on earth, he demonstrated with his words and with his life and with his teachings, he told us what is God, what God is really like. And this morning, we're going to look at Luke 15. And we're going to look at a very familiar passage. It's called the parable of the prodigal son or the lost son. Luke 15 verses 11 onwards. Okay. But before we go to Luke 15 and verse 11, we'll start off at verse 1. You see, whenever we look at something in the Bible, you've got to look at what is the context of that teaching or of what was said. What was said before that? What was the occasion that was present when Jesus spoke this parable? And in Luke 15 verse 1, this is what was happening. It says, now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But you know what the Pharisees, the religious people and the teachers of the law, they muttered. They said, this man, Jesus, welcomes sinners and eats with them. Okay? So, what was happening was the sinners were coming to meet with Jesus, and the religious people were looking down on Jesus and saying, this man is eating with the sinners. And so in that context, Jesus tells us this parable to help us understand what God is really like. And what he does is in Luke 15, he tells us not one, but he tells us three parables. Again, the first one, you remember, is the parable of the lost sheep, right? What was that story about? A shepherd had 100 sheep. He lost one. What did he do? He left the other 99. He went to search for the lost one. And then when he found it, he said in verse 6, you know, so there's something lost. It's found. And then the key thing is, when it is found, there is great rejoicing. In Luke 15, verse 6 onwards, he says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. And really, it was not about sheep that Jesus was talking about. He was saying this. He says, I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. So what Jesus is saying is this, that you know what? If one person turns and finds God, wow, that the Father in heaven will rejoice so much over one person who repents. Okay, so that's a different picture of what God is like. So God is not a strict schoolmaster with a ruler in his hands waiting to punish you. He's not like a strict policeman waiting to see if you've just crossed the speed limit and waiting to give you a ticket. God is loving. He's waiting for sinners to repent and turn back so that he can rejoice in heaven. And then the parable of the lost coin is again similar. A woman had 10 gold coins, she lost one. 10 silver coins, she lost one. And then she finds it and then she says to her neighbors, calls her neighbors together in verse 9 and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin. And it says, in the same way I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Okay, let's pray. Come. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, I pray for understanding and revelation of who you are, Lord. May who you are sink deep in our hearts and in our spirits. That we may realize that you are a loving God who seeks and saves the lost. Lord, open our eyes this morning. Open our hearts that we would rejoice with you over the salvation of souls. And we would partner with you in the salvation of souls. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Jesus gives two parables and then he gets on to the third one, which is the parable of, it's titled the parable of the lost son or the prodigal son. But really, it's more about who the father is, and that father represents the father in heaven. And let's look at this. So Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger said to his father, give me the share of the estate. Now, can you imagine all those who are parents here? Okay, imagine your children coming to you. Or children, imagine you maybe going to your father or when he's still alive or mother and saying, listen, you know, I know this house is going to come to me. I'm the only son or there's two of us. I want my share now. What would your father do to you? You know, so the request was audacious. It was absolutely wrong. You know, most parents say, listen, after I die and I'm gone, this house, this whatever I have belongs to you, but not now while I'm still alive. And so this son did that. And the surprising thing is that the father, so he divided the property between them. Wow. Father, so instead of giving him a left and a right, he divides the property and he gives it to them. Now, what did the son do? So really, what we see here is the son is demanding what would have been his after the death of the father. But really, he's declaring his independence. He says, Father, I don't want to live under your authority. And so in verse 13, it says, not long after that, the younger son got together all he had and set off for a distant country. So my first point is the misery of the son. This is what he did. He says, Father, first of all, give me what is mine. He shouldn't have done that. And then he says, now I don't want to live here anymore. I'm moving out. Now, if he was moving out next door, it's another thing. Where did he move out? He moved out of the country. Okay? He got together and set off for a distance. He says, I want to be as far away as possible from my father. So it was his declaration of independence. And really what this is where people run away from God. Okay? Now, you don't have to move out of your physical father's house and run away from God. You can run away from God living here. But really, what this boy was saying is, I don't want anything to do with my father. I am off. And that's what he did. And when we break our attachment with the father, we then attach ourselves to other things. We can attach ourselves to drugs, to alcohol, to illicit sex. We can attach ourselves to jobs, throw ourselves into that. We can attach ourselves to a spouse, a sport, a hobby, games, TV, books. They may not all be bad things, but really the bad thing is we're saying, Father, I want nothing to do with you. I will find my fulfillment here in these things. And these things may appear to be nice and may fulfill us or satisfy us for some time, but in the end, we will end up like how this son ended up. And so this is what happened. Verse 30, not long after that, he went off, set off for a distant country, and there he squandered his wealth in wild living. So his inheritance, lots of money, and further down we see that what he had done is he had spent his money on parties and prostitutes, and that's what he had done. Now, you know, when you have money, you have lots of friends. Isn't that true? Yeah, when you have money, everybody wants to be your friend. When you don't have money, the friends disappear. That's what it is. Okay, and that's the same thing that happened to this man. Okay, verse 14. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his field to feed pigs. Now, you must understand the context. To us, we're Christians, you know, pigs, no big deal. But to a Jew, Okay, they consider pigs unclean animals. You know, imagine to say, okay, your job is to feed Itsy, Betsy, and whoever. You know, these are the pigs. To feed them. Ooh, this is the most low job that anybody could take because it was revolting. So the Pharisees who heard this must have said, yuck, what a job. Okay? And verse 16 says, he longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. And the result of going away from God is this, that we will fill ourselves with the things of the world and we will end up with swine food. That's what will happen. Where the things, you know, it's like somebody said, trying to fill ourselves and satisfy ourselves with the things of this world is like trying to quench your thirst drinking seawater. There's a lot of water, but will it quench your thirst? No. And this is what was the result of going away from God. I want to ask you this morning, have you gone away from God in this way? Okay? Have you attached yourself to something else or somebody else? It may be something bad or it may be something good. You know, bad could be drugs and other things. Good could be maybe a job or sport or something else that is just taking you away from God. The end result is if we cut ourselves off from God and go for these things, is that we will be faced with swine food, disgusting stuff. Now, the good news is this. Now, just to tell you that everybody who turns away from the Father will end up like this. They will find that the things of this world will not satisfy. Now, there's good news for this. The good news is this. In verse 17, we see the repentance of the son. In verse 17, it says, when he came to his senses. Somewhere between the smell of the pigs and the food of the pigs, reality set in. Okay, he says, hey, what am I? Has anybody visited a pigsty? Okay, listen, you know there is a pigsty there miles before you reach it. You know that. Why? Because the smell. So he must have been overwhelmed with his senses. You know, they say when somebody faints, they give them smelling salts, no? To get it right. So this guy must have got the smell and succumbed to his senses and says, hey, where am I? What am I doing? Pigs? Pig food? I'm hungry and I'm willing to eat that? There's something wrong. Verse 17. So he came to his senses and he says, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. All right. So what did he do? He says, oh no. He says, what have I done? He says, in my father's house, the servants have so much. Forget about the sons. The servants have so much to eat. And here I'm starving to death, considering, you know, fighting with the pigs for their food. And so then verse 18, we see his brokenness and his humility and his repentance. And he says, I will set out and go back to my father. And I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. And so here we see that there was true repentance on his part. He didn't say, I'll go back to my father and say, Father, take me back as your son. He says, no, I've lost that right. He says, I've blown it. So he says, Father, take me as one of your servants. I don't deserve to be your son. And so this is what he said. I will cast myself on my father. And said, Lord, Father, I'll be like your servant. That's it. That's it. Okay. And so that's very important that we see this repentance take place. You know. And for us to realize that no matter what our situation is, no matter how much you have sinned or whatever sins you have committed, there is hope. There is forgiveness. Okay, the Father is not an angry school teacher or a policeman. He is a loving Father who, as we'll see next, is waiting for you to turn. Let's look at the next thing. the father. So this is what the son decides. So he got up, verse 20, and went to his father. Now, what was the father doing? Now, imagine if you were the father. Imagine that you had given your son his inheritance, and you see him coming back. You see him, he's probably got a huge beard. He's got torn clothes. You can get that whiff and smell from afar because he's been with the pigs. And then you see the resemblance. Oh, yeah, that looks like my son. What would your response be? You know, we would be wanting to say, what? You did this and now you want to come back to me? I mean, we would give them a long lecture, wouldn't we? You know, and say, listen, you better earn your way back. Yeah, I'll take you as a servant, low servant. These are your wages. And or we just say, get lost. I don't want to see you. You know, in fact, the family had considered him dead. We see later on. But here we see the Father. And remember, the Father represents our Father in heaven. What is God like? And this is what he is. But while he was still a long way off, his Father saw him. And that's the heart of the Father in heaven. He's always looking to see when his children will turn and repent. Even right now, he's looking. He's saying, are you going to repent? Are you going to come to me? Will you turn? So the father saw him. The father was filled with compassion. You see, the father was not filled with anger. He was not filled with revenge. He was filled with compassion. And that's what our father is like, our heavenly father. He's a loving father. He's a good, good father. He's filled with grace and compassion. Okay? So that's one thing. He saw him. His heart was filled with compassion. And then he did the most unthinkable thing. Now think about a dignified older man. Okay, have you seen, think of an army man, for example, you know, all his medals and this and that, or somebody, you know. You never see them running, right? Or you go to a wedding or a function, you see people dressed in suits, you know, and all that. They will walk in a dignified manner. But here we see this father who was a patriarch. He sees his son. His heart is filled with compassion. You know, he's not saying, well, let him come right here, then I'll talk to him. He saw his son taking steps towards him. The father put aside his self-respect and he ran to the son. What does that tell you? The great love of the father towards sinners. Amazing. He said, I don't care what people think about me. That looks like my son. Let me run to him and welcome him. Okay? And so that's what he did. So he ran to his son. And then he threw his arms around him. Can you imagine? The son must have been dirty, smelly. But the father didn't care about all those things. And in the same way, God in that sense does not care about whatever sins you have committed. Because he's paid for them all on the cross. That's the good news. You know, we think, let me clean myself up first. Then I will go to God. God says, you cannot clean yourself. You come to me as you are. And he's willing to put his arms around you and love you and accept you. And that's what he did. He put his arms around him. Okay? And he kissed him. So it just shows the amazing love of the father towards sinners. The son said to him, Father, I've sinned against you, against heaven. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. So the father had seen the repentance of the son. Okay? And then the father responded. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Amen. Isn't that so wonderful? That's the picture of our Father in heaven. He's watching. He's waiting. His heart is filled with compassion. He's waiting to see sinners turn and come towards him. And then when they come, there's great rejoicing. So I want to say to us this morning, where are you in this parable? Okay. Are you in a place where you are, where the prodigal son was? Yeah, where he was eating or ready to eat the food of pigs. Because really, the things of the world will lead to that. They will not work out. You know, what does it mean? I'll give you an example. You know, we know of so many people who, in desperation to get married, have married unbelievers. And then 1, 2, 3, 4 years down the line, there is so much pain and there is so much misery and there was so much heartache and in the family. This is what it is. We have other people who've done other things that were wrong, you know, and we can name so many things, but really what God is saying is, will you turn to me this morning? Okay. For us, we've already turned to Jesus. What is our thing to do? One is, we can still receive many lessons from this, knowing that even when we do sin, even as believers, the Father is there to welcome us back again. Okay? We can say, Lord, forgive me. He will cleanse us. He will receive us. He loves us. He covers us with His righteousness. That's the good news. But the application for us this morning that I feel I want to highlight is this. There is great rejoicing in heaven when sinners repent. That means, how can we put a smile on the face of our Father in heaven? Okay, when we are involved in seeing sinners come to Christ. Jesus said, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Can we this morning decide to say, hey, great rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents. Lord, use me this year, Lord. Help me to bring one or two or three sinners to you. Would you like that to happen in your life? What a great, great blessing that would be. Okay? And so in this summertime, we've said, there are no gym groups, there are no prayer meetings. Use this time to reach out to people, to make friends with people. Because we want them to know about this wonderful Father who's watching and waiting for them to turn to Him. Okay, will you do that? All right, we've seen the heart of the Father, but the question is that heart of the Father in us this morning? The Father did all He could to welcome that son back. He wants us to go and reach the lost. Shall we do it? All right, can we look at this week? Say, Lord, give me one person that I'll go and have coffee with. I'll have tea with. I'll have a meal with. Give me one person where I can just share the goodness of God with them. I tell you, if each of us do it, we'll be moving towards seeing that great rejoicing in heaven. Let's pray. If there's anybody this morning who's saying, Lord, I want to come back to you. Yeah, this is the time to come back to Jesus, all right? You may have strayed away, you're saying, Lord, I want to come back to you. I don't want to eat the food of swine, but I want to come back to you, Lord Jesus. Okay? Well, let's just pray. In your heart, just say, Lord, I'm turning, I'm repenting, I'm coming back to you this morning. I want to live in the Father's house, live under the Father's blessing. Lord, we thank you for each one here this morning, Lord. Lord, we thank you for revealing your great heart to us, Lord, your heart of love, of compassion, your heart that seeks the sinner, Lord. Lord, I pray that if there's anybody here who needs to turn to you, Lord, we would turn to you. Your Spirit would touch them and they would come to you. Lord, I pray for the rest of us, Lord. We pray that we would seek and save the lost. Lord, give us contacts this week, Lord. This week, give us people that we can share the love of Jesus with. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.